All right. Hello. Can you hear me? Yay. All right. So, let's see how this goes tonight. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of us in the Zendo and a bunch of you on Zoom. And we hopefully have improved our audio connection. So we'll see. We have whoever is going to be this. This is our annual members meeting tonight. So whoever is going to be presenting will come and sit in this seat so you can hear them a little better. But I will begin by greeting everyone, and those on Zoom, because you have your names, I will say your name and then everybody will repeat the name. And then in the Zendo, we'll go back to you say your own name and we repeat it. Because lately I've had to look around and I'm like, I know their name, but I can't. All right. Starting on Zoom then with Tyler. Tyler. Chris.
Chris.
Linda.
Linda.
Betty.
Betty.
Bob.
Bob.
Mark.
Mark.
Paul.
Paul.
Marv.
Marv.
Jim.
Jim.
Mick.
Mick.
Drew.
Drew.
Gathel.
Gathel.
Zach.
Zach.
Dave.
Dave.
Jeff.
Jeff.
Sabrina.
Sabrina.
And Ruth Ann.
Ruth Ann.
Jinryu.
Jinryu.
Susan.
Susan.
Jill.
Jill.
Franklin.
Franklin.
Erica.
Erica.
Joan.
Joan.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, welcome everyone. Let's see. Announcements. I can take this off for now. That makes such a huge difference. My Lord. So those of you who come up to speak can take your masks off for the duration. So let's see, next week will be our last class of the 9 fields. And then after that, we will start following Kyogen's book, Kyogen Carlson's book, You Are Still Here. And, you know, there's a lot of chapters in that book. We're not gonna spend an entire year on it. I will go through and, you know, choose which chapters we're going to read. So they'll be sequential, and there's the book Bob is showing. So that Kyogen was one of my teachers. And so this book, I feel like it really gives you a really great introduction to the essence of this lineage, the teachings that are important to this particular lineage of Zen. And yeah, I think Kyogen was a brilliant, brilliant teacher. So I'm looking forward to that. Other announcements, term student closing retreat, very beginning of December. And then we do have a holiday break between Christmas Eve and New Year's. Anything else I should announce or any questions about anything that's coming up? All right. I believe I'm going to turn it over to Jim, who will orient us to this meeting. Jim, our board president. Board chair, I believe we call it. Chairman of the board.
Thank you. So I guess welcome to our annual meeting. This meeting, there's kind of two reasons for this meeting. The first is that it's part of being a membership organization. We need to have a annual meeting, but also and especially it's an opportunity for us to formally get together, and from an administrative point of view, kind of neat. For the Dharma side of things, we actually have something called the Teachers Advisory Council, which can address that side of things. But this is our opportunity to kind of meet from an organizational point of view and to talk. So our goal behind this meeting is to inform you about what's going on, hear concerns, and answer questions that you might have. So that's, you know, we've got board members. Well, we're here means somewhere within Zoom. We have for board members that are here. Great, perfect timing. How do I make you be quiet? Okay, sorry about that. So in terms of board members that we have here, we have me, we have Linda, we have Bob, Jinryu is in the Zendo, Domyo is in the Zendo, Joan is in the Zendo, I believe, and James isn't able to join us. And different board members have kind of topics they're going to talk about. We've got kind of an introduction to Bright Ways Zen. We've got membership and attendance, board, the board itself. We'll talk about the fundraiser and financial information. We'll talk about volunteering and benefits and opportunities and the future. And then we'll have time for questions and answers at the end. And, you know, if something seems particularly confusing, you can chime in at the end of someone's talk and get info there. So anyhow, I think at this point, if there are not questions for me, I will hand it over to Linda.
Thank you, Jim. Hi, everybody. I am Linda, and here in Portland, and I joined the board this year, the beginning of this year. And I've been asked to talk to you all a little bit about the history of Bright Ways Zen and the executive director. So I'm going to share my screen. I have just a PDF, a timeline. So I'm hoping that you all in the Zendo can see this okay. Let's see. Is that okay? Can people see that? Okay, so back in 2008, Domyo, in the spring of 2008, Domyo started Domyo started West Side Zen as a sitting group accessible to people on the far west side of Portland, Beaverton, Hillsborough, Aloha, and surrounding communities. West Side Zen met twice a month at the Christ United Methodist Church in Cedar Mill. In October of 2011, the group was incorporated as a nonprofit in Oregon renamed Bright Ways Zen. Domyo resigned from a longtime staff position at Dharma Rain Zen Center to focus on Bright Way. The group began to meet weekly and to grow in size and maturity of practice. In February of 2012, Bright Way held its first one-day meditation retreat at the Leedy Grange in Cedar Mill. And since then, we've had a one-day retreat every few months. In May of 2012, Bright Way held its first Jukai ceremony, where five members formally became Zen Buddhists. And around this time, the Zen Center started the option of pledging membership for regular financial support. In October of 2012, Bright Way Zen's first board of directors met and reviewed the Sangha's finances and a draft of the bylaws. in February of 2013, Brightway Zen signed a lease for a space at the current location on Southwest Barnes Road in Portland after Domio and the board identified as a high priority having a space of our own. Having grown substantially over the years to 35 pledging members, Brightway had the opportunity in 2016 to expand the Zendo by over 35%, plus start utilizing other areas of the building. In 2017, Brightway Zen obtained official 501c3 status from the IRS and continued to grow. By the end of that year, we had 50 pledging members. In March of 2017, the board of directors met for the first strategic planning retreat and later that year developed a planning survey, both of which led to the adoption of the Brightway mission and vision in March 2018. A second strategic planning retreat was held in March of 2018, and the third the following year in March of 2019, which led to the adoption of the three-year strategic plan, 2019 to 2022, in April of 2019, with three areas of focus, which were Sangha growth, deepening member commitment, and building Sangha resources. In 2020, with COVID, Brightway Zen moved completely online in March of 2020, yet our Sangha grew and changed quite a bit, with close to one third of our active participants now living out of state or in other countries. In 2021, the first annual fall fundraiser was held to great success. And just in October, recently, Brightway Zen began Zendo meetings again with a new setup for hybrid participation. And we've grown to around 80 pledging members. And there we go. I've also been asked to explain a little bit about the executive directorship, which according to our bylaws, the executive director must be a transmitted Soto Zen priest as recognized by the Soto Zen Buddhist Association and has two functions, spiritual leader and executive manager. I'm going to make this quick because I have less than a minute. In her capacity as spiritual leader, Domio determines matters of liturgy, religious practice, and teaching, gives direction to the membership on these matters, and is not answerable to the board of directors or other organization employees or officers, except for the provision of removal and through adherence to an ethics policy. In her capacity as operations manager, Domio takes care of the organization's daily function and is accountable to the board of directors in all legal and financial matters. In such legal and financial matters, Domio abides by the decisions made by the board of directors. And Domio also officiates as ex officio voting member of the board. So I will stop my share. And this is a lot of this you can find on the website also. But if you have questions, let me know. Otherwise, I'm passing back to Jim. Thank you.
Fine. Let's see. I think Bob has membership and attendance, followed by, I think, Jim Rio.
Yes, thank you, Jim. I'm Bob, member of the board, of course, and I'm here to talk about membership.
We can't hear you, Bob.
Can't hear me. Okay. Okay, once again. Hi, I'm Bob, member of the board, and I'm here to talk about membership and the meaning of membership. I didn't provide a PowerPoint presentation as nice as Linda's. I apologize for that. It's just me. But membership, what does it mean? Well, by signing up as a member, you officially join our community, or we call it Sangha. You say, here I am. I value Bright Way Zen and want it to continue offering opportunities to practice and study Zen and build community. Members pledge a regular monthly, quarterly, or annual donation that allows us to budget and plan. One-time donations are wonderful, but it's difficult to depend on them for paying rent, covering bills, and supporting our teachers. Your commitment is a tangible source of energy for the Sangha. Members are eligible to vote for the directors on our board, and if they take Jukai, which is formally becoming a Buddhist, they can also serve on the board. Members can communicate with one another through an email group and have access to an online member directory. Members look out for one another and support one another in life and practice over the years. Now, in this age of increasing isolation, materialism, and busyness, one of the most important things we can do is create, sustain, and participate in community or Sangha. Bright Way Zen is a community. Right now, we have 81 pledging members and many more people who participate regularly. We're getting to know one another. We sit, study, and drink tea together when we can gather all of us once again in the Zendo. Over the years, our community has grown and matured, and it has become one of the primary sources of connection and refuge for many of our members. We aren't interested in growth only for growth's sake. However, we have several visions for the long term that will require the support of our Sangha. First, we'd like to occupy a beautiful space with a Zendo large enough to hold all of our members, sufficient parking, wheelchair access, a kitchen, dining room, office, and various meeting spaces. This would allow Sangha members to gather on a daily basis for practice, work, socializing, and communal meals. Ideally, it would also be a space where we could hold small overnight retreats. We would like to own our own space. The other one would be leasing. If we owned our own space, then the Sangha members could continue by caring for and improving the space. We could make it suit our needs and also have a source of financial investment. We would like to support our teachers. We'd like to give Domyo, our guiding teacher and executive and spiritual director, a living wage so she can continue to work for the Zen Center 20 to 25 hours a week or even more, once her husband retires. Currently, Domyo receives $1,275 a month and offers, that's $1,275 a month, and offers scheduled practice 6 days a week, offers formal teaching 2 days a week, develops programs, takes care of correspondence, bills, administration, finances, offers one-on-one meetings, and is available for the community members in times of need. It is important for the Sangha to be able to pay for teacher support long-term because eventually Domyo will retire, and Sangha will need to be able to recruit and support new teachers who are unlikely to be able to work for free. Think long term. Think about the Sangha lasting 100 years or more. That's a great vision. There is no set amount for membership. We have 81 pledging members, and pledges average about $50 a month, but range from $5 to $125. And you should give what feels right for you. You can make a monthly, quarterly, or annual pledge. Your participation and membership are valued regardless of how much you give, and we never want anyone to be discouraged or turned away because of financial limitations. If you need to decrease or pause your pledge at any time, simply let Domyo know, writing her at info@brightwayzen.org. On the other hand, you may choose to give extra in order to help make Bright Way available to everyone, no matter what their financial situation. You may also choose to give extra in order to help Bright Way achieve its vision. Together, we will manifest this, hopefully sooner than later, with everyone's help, large or small. With our in-person services combined with our online presentations, we have achieved an increase in attendance despite the strictures during the pandemic. We are experiencing attendance of around 25 on Sundays, around that same number on most Tuesdays, but they both range from the high teens to sometimes 33 or so. Saturdays tend to be about a dozen people, with weekday mornings ranging from 5 to 12 people, averaging about 7. Roughly a third of our regularly participating members do not live locally. That's a third. Our membership numbers have reached 81 members, despite or maybe due to the pandemic. The average monthly donation amount is around $50, ranging from 5 to 200 per month. All are welcome here, no matter what their financial situation. So I will end it here. And let's see. I'm not sure, Jim, who's next, so I'll turn it over to you, Jim.
All right. I believe Jin Ryu was going to talk about board. Oh, she's in the Zendo.
So, it is so wonderful that I can take my mask off. And I did not know I was going to be able to do that, or I would have put lipstick on. But we all know, most of us know, that if you put lipstick on and then put your mask on, it's a mess. So it's good to see everybody here in the Zendo as well as on Zoom. And my name is Jin Ryu. And I'm going to talk about two things. One is, what does the board do and what do board members do? And the other thing is fundraising. What does the board do? You've heard a little bit about it if you've listened to Jim and Bob and Linda. But go to the website and look across left to right and get to About Bright Way, and then click that and look down, you'll see our organization. And if you click there, you will see the board of directors, the meeting minutes, the budget, all the financials. You'll see everything that the board of directors is involved in. Generally speaking, it's anything that has to do with legal, financial, policy, or strategic aspects of running our community. And that sounds pretty boring to some people, but I will tell you, I've been here, I'm working on 8 years now, and at my very first board meeting, we voted to give Domeo a salary. So that's not boring. That is not a boring discussion. And do you remember what it was?
$350 a month?
It was $7,000 a year. It would come a long way and a longer way to go. But so we voted on our salary, and you know, we continue to approve the budget every year and hopefully continue to give her increases every year until we can get her somewhere closer to a living wage. Another exciting thing that we did, and Linda's already mentioned it, is we worked on our strategic plan. And we started that in 2017 with the mission and the vision, which you can also find on the website. If you scroll down on the front page, just keep on scrolling to the bottom of the page, you'll see our mission is. And then if you click on that, you can see the vision as well. And then if you go to where I said about Bright Ways In and you click on that and you see the board of directors and the financials and the minutes and all that stuff, you also see the strategic plan. It took us 2 years from 2017 to 2019 to develop and approve and launch our strategic plan. So those are the kinds of things that the board does. Now, if you're a board member, one of the ways you get involved in that is you attend 4 meetings a year, which is really not that many. And they happen on the third Wednesday of the month, just after the end of the quarter, which sounds
hard to follow. But what that means is our meeting in October, the third Wednesday of October, was for the third quarter of this year. Our meeting for the fourth quarter of this year will be the third Wednesday in January. The meeting for the first quarter of next year will be the third Wednesday in April, and so on. So it's January, April, July, October. Those are the four meetings. Wednesday evenings from 6:30 to 8:30. And we totally get that we're human. Work can go crazy, family emergency, chance to take a vacation. But generally speaking, we like to see all the board members at every board meeting. And then we have projects to work on, like, you know, figuring out how to interface with our new landlords. We have new landlords as of a couple of years ago. And, you know, the things we had to do with them about the water and the parking lot. And all kinds of different things that we have to work with related to running the business of Brightway Zen. It just so happens that we have an open board position now, and we will have another one in March. And generally, in the past, we have always asked that a board member be someone who is a member of Brightway Zen and as well has taken the precepts and gone through Jukai. But we recently voted to allow the board to include one or two people who are members of Brightway Zen, but for whatever reason, they haven't taken Jukai. Maybe they haven't gotten to do it yet this year, or maybe for whatever personal reasons, they don't want to go through that process, but they are a member. And we can include those two if the board agrees to. We can include people like that as well. The way we vote, we put it to a Zendo-wide, community-wide vote, but it's only one person for one seat. So in other words, if there was one seat, we wouldn't ask the people to vote on Linda or Betty. So it's not a contest between Linda and Betty. It's, we got one seat, Linda's going for it, yes or no on Linda. And that's how we fill the seats. So it's never, we're never pitting one person against the other. It's always just one person, one seat. Easy voting process. So that's what board members do, except for one thing that Demio will probably disagree with me on. Board members are responsible for raising funds. Now, I know this is true. I think if he asks Thomas Bruner, he will agree. In fact, I know he will. He will agree. But, you know, we struggled with that. And in fact, we never really talked about that much because we were afraid people wouldn't want to be on the board if they knew they had to do that. So when Linda and James got on the board and then we started talking about fundraising, man, that I was kind of worried there. But, you know, right after we did our strategic plan, a wonderful person stepped forward and said, you know what, we ought to have a party and raise some money. And that person was Frankie Borison. And she's no longer with us, except every now and then on Zoom because she moved way across town. But she did, in fact, put together a team of volunteers. It must have been 10 or 12 volunteers, plus an extra special person, Marcia, to take care of the auction. Wonderful venue out in Forest Grove, a lovely little town to the west. We had our very own so-own, who is Lisa Mann. And for those of you not from this area, Lisa Mann is an award-winning blues guitarist and singer. She was quite a draw, and that was a big effort, and we were very pleased with ourselves. And we spent $2,300 and we earned $6,300. So with that effort, we made $4,000. I've already mentioned Thomas Bruner. He is a beloved consultant. He's also a Dharma brother of Domio's. And if you ever have a chance to hear him talk, he's a wonderful Dharma teacher as well. I always enjoy what he has to say. But he's a nonprofit consultant. He specializes in fundraising. The man loves fundraising. And so we told him all about what we did, and we raised $4,000, and wasn't it really wonderful? And he said, that's great. He said, you know, if you want to have a party, have a party. But if you want to raise money, talk to people and ask them to give you money. That's his whole approach. And we balked at that. We didn't want to do that. And we finally decided that if you can train us to do that, we'll think about it. So we were going to have some training in person, and then the pandemic hit. And we ended up doing 3 nights of training, 3 Thursdays for 2 hours apiece on Zoom. We trained all the board members plus a couple of other people who are in Brightway Zen. We trained, I think people came from Vancouver, British Columbia. We had people from Bellingham, Washington. We had people from Texas. We had people from Y East out in Sandy. We had people from California. So the idea of a Zen community fundraising is an idea that really needs a lot more attention than it's been getting. Dharma Rain, Thomas Bruner is from Dharma Rain, and they do this every year. And the last time they did it, I was so impressed with them. I was at a Dharma Rain function, and it was, oh, by the way, next week we're starting our fundraiser. If you think about it, go to our website and give us a donation. I mean, it was just so natural and so upbeat, and there was just nothing to it. In this training, we learned how to put together a plan. We learned how to role play with each other. So in pretty much June or July of 2020, we were ready to do a fundraiser. And we hemmed and hawed, and we let the pandemic get in the way, and we didn't want to do it. So a year went by, and we finally did it in September of this year. And I'm just so glad we did, because it was a wonderful experience for us as a board to work together like that. It was a wonderful experience to reach out to people I really didn't know all that well and have a phone conversation, have coffee with people. And then I had to ask them for a donation. And the other wonderful part about it was that I think we were all totally blown away by the generosity and support of the people, not only here in Portland area, but on Zoom from all over. It was just really wonderful. So remember the big party, spent $2,300, raised $6,300, netted $4,000. For this fundraiser, spent $100, raised $13,000. So the bottom line is Thomas was right. If you want to raise money, ask people for money, celebrate with a big party. Maybe we should do that next year. The other wonderful thing about our fundraiser is we started it, we ended it, it's done. We will not ask you for money again until next September. But it's an open and shut thing. Up and down, we're done, and we move on to other wonderful things about our community. So I've gone plenty. And thank you for listening, and I'll hang around if people have questions. And who's next?
Domio will trade with Jinryu to
talk about
financials, I guess.
Thank you. Okie dokie. Lovely stories people are telling. Okay, so I'm going to give you a financial report. One of the things that the Sangha needs to think about in the future, one of the reasons that we're trying to build Sangha resources, build the amount of resources that the Sangha ends up being able to count on a regular basis, you know, for the things that Bob mentioned, but also because you are fortunate, I guess, to have a teacher who's a jack of all trades. I do Zoom tech, I do websites, I do bookkeeping, and that you can't always count on having a teacher like that someday, right? So you're going to have to pay for a bookkeeper. So over time, we're trying to, you know, farm these tasks out more so that I'm not doing them, not just because of, you know, not burdening me, but just really a healthy organization shouldn't have one person doing too much. But I do actually don't mind doing bookkeeping. So let's see. As of today, in our bank account, we had $9,000 in our checking account and $32,000 in savings. Our 2021 budget, which we are doing better on our budget than projected. I make the budgets as well, and I tend to make them conservative. I build in just a little bit of growth in terms of income, and I realistically project expenses so that usually the end result is a pleasant surprise. We usually do better than I project deliberately. So our 2021 budget was $60,000 in income, and that's mostly donations. We make a little bit from retreat fees and stuff like that, but for the most part, it's just donations. And honestly, that is, when the pandemic hit, many Zen centers and retreat centers were hit pretty hard because of how much they rely on their, you know, class fees and retreat fees and stuff like that. And we really didn't suffer much at all because people participated on Zoom and just kept up with their membership donations. So it's actually a pretty stable way to be. So $60,000 in income and $55,000 in expenses we projected. Always trying to project a little bit of addition to the savings, and usually we end up putting into savings more than that. And then our largest expenses are rent, $1,550 a month, which is actually a really, really, really great deal. For those of you who don't know, our building is rather funky. We can't drink the water because it has too much lead in it, but we have little containers of water, and we deal. Because chances are, if we moved and we tried to find a space of a similar size, similar privacy, similar parking, we could be looking at easily twice the cost, if not more. So we're hanging out here as long as our landlords let us. Even though there's a huge amount of development going on all around us, and we're this funky little building, so it's really just a matter of time before this place isn't here anymore. So anyway, our budget report at an October board meeting, we had netted $11,000. So this was before the bulk of the fundraiser. And that part of it we saved on rent. Because of the pandemic, we were actually considering giving up our lease here, because it's like, we're going to throw away $1,500 a month for how long and never meet here. But the owners came back with a counter offer basically saying, look, we could pay rent every 3 months or a third of the rent, which is just about as much as it would cost to rent a storage locker. So in the meantime, we continue to rent the space, and it's just great because then now we're meeting in person again, and here we are. And we had lower expenses than projected because of the pandemic. No tea, no cookies, no toilet paper, that kind of thing. We did have lower than projected regular membership pledge donations, and I haven't quite gotten my mind around why that was, because our membership stayed about the same. But anyway, that's going to be more than made up for by the fundraiser. And at the end of the year, we should come up even better than projected. Even with, we did spend probably I'm probably going to end up spending about $3,500 on the Zoom, outfitting the Zendo for Zoom. And notably, also sound treatment panels. Like the first one is now mounted behind me. Bob is making those for us. And we're going to put them all throughout the Zendo so it's not as echoey in here. I think that is it for the financial report. And I think it goes on to Joan.
Well, good evening, everyone. I have the opportunity to talk about volunteering and its benefits and opportunities here at Brightway. I'm going to start by telling you what it means to me. For me, volunteering is an opportunity for interaction with Sangha members. It's an opportunity to be part of something that's bigger than me. And it's an opportunity to give back to something that gives me so much and is a central part of my life. The benefits that I get from volunteering, serving, giving my time and effort in support of Sangha, help me to live out my vows as a Buddhist. And more specifically, serving keeps my focus on others, not myself. And I think it reinforces the idea of taking refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, where I find wisdom, guidance, friendship, and knowledge. All of this helps me to be a kinder, more compassionate person, to suffer less in this world, and to be more at peace. Currently, I volunteer by organizing volunteers, being a greeter and a reader, and serving as a Brightway Zen board member. Currently, we have many volunteers serving, and I want to extend a big thank you to all of you. Your time and efforts, your service is truly appreciated, and Brightway could not function without you. It really, truly could not. And the thing about volunteers, the more we have, the less each person has to do. So this could mean a monthly rotation versus a twice a month rotation if there's more people. So I want to mention that many people have stepped forward recently, in particular helping with the format on Zoom, which was a lot to learn, and it takes more people to handle all that. So thank you, and thank you. If you determine that volunteering is meaningful to you and you want to make service part of your practice at Brightway Zen, there are many opportunities. If you want to be a greeter in person, you can email me and I will get you in the rotation. If you want to be a greeter or host on Zoom, you can email Mark. If you want to be a reader or play instruments or keep time, Jim is the person that schedules that. Or if you want to help by cleaning the Zendo, Paul Schertz is the person that schedules that. There are many other opportunities. You could be serving as a board member, maintaining the merit list, recording Dharma talks and posting them to the website, maintaining the newsletter, helping with bookkeeping. Or if you are inspired by something you think would be really helpful, that would be great too. So, you can always email me if there's not another person that you know to email. And I would be happy to talk with you about that and get you going in the right direction, give you training if you need that. So there's just two thoughts I want to leave you with. The first is that Sangha is people just like you and me, and what it becomes is up to us. And the second one is any act of devotion or compassion, no matter how small, creates change in the world. Thank you.
Sweet. All right, I will make my last little bit quick here because we do want to leave a few minutes for question and answers. I plan to leave at least 15 minutes. Now we only have 13 minutes left. But really quickly, I guess I just wanted to talk a little bit about the future. The strategic plan's already been mentioned, so I don't need to go over that. But honestly, during COVID, we've kind of been on pause with respect to many of those things. Not fundraising, though. We did that. So if you look at that, I mean, it's still very relevant. It's still, you know, we may not need to change it a whole lot if we just extend it a year or two, and it's a good guide for the future. In the near and distant future, these are just some of my thoughts of what I would love to see happen. Because I do feel like during COVID, we kind of like, we just coasted and maintained. It's like we held it together, but we pretty much did nothing, you know, proactive. And I'm not talking about just the Zen Center. Like, that was the definition of life. So in the near future, I think a lot about the transition to this hybrid Zoom and Zendo Sangha. And, you know, if you have feedback or you have ideas or whatever into how we can try to make participate, it's hard enough when everybody's just local to keep communication clear, to keep a sense of connection, to look out for people. So how we're going to do that even on Zoom is going to be a challenge, but I think there's things that we can do. And just to know and to even identify that as a priority. And actually the board, when we have these two board positions coming up, you know, people said, well, like, people can be board members if they're a Zoom member, right? And we're like, well, yeah, we probably should have at least one board member who is somebody who isn't local and who depends on the Zoom Sangha. So there's that. Second thing is, my heart of hearts, I really want us to start doing Sesshin again. So before lockdown, we had managed 3 years in a row, I believe, to do a residential 5-day retreat as a Sangha. And it occurs to me that kind of thing could even be a draw for Zoom folks who might want to, you know, set that side of time and then make the trip, and we can all be together, you know, once a year. Maybe more than once a year someday, right? But starting with once would be good. You know, I mean, COVID's still a big issue, but even when it starts to open, it's going to take a lot to you know, we've built up a lot of inertia here, and to pull off a retreat takes a lot of work. and it's going to be a challenge to do it again. But that is something that I am thinking about. And if you are excited about that, you know, be thinking about it as well. And, you know, kind of the longer term, in addition to the, you know, we've talked about building resources and preparation for perhaps a more expensive space, building resources to retain a teacher for the long-term vitality of the Sangha. You know, God forbid if something were to happen to me or someday I retire, what I want is this Sangha to be able to put out a a job listing and interview a bunch of different people, I want you to be able to say, you know, we can offer a competitive salary and, you know, you don't have to take just anybody, right? You get to have somebody come and give some talks and you can see what feels right for the Sangha. So I think that's, you know, building up the capacity to offer that, I think, is a really important thing for long-term sustainability. And then on a Dharma level, one of the things on my mind is creating more meaningful paths of development for senior members. So this is one of those, congregations, sanghas go through different stages. And when they're very, very small and everything is focused on the clergy person, there's a certain simplicity to that. But then they get bigger and a little bit more complex and they become more program centered. And you get people who've been around for 10 years. And frankly, you know, it's great. You just joined the Sangha and, you know, Domio's Tuesday classes are great. And, you know, all the regular programs are great. But after 10 years, you know, what more is there? There is a need for cultivating leadership in people and perhaps a deeper study, deeper kinds of vows, that kind of thing, to give it, to be required, but just as an opportunity, because otherwise senior members tend to start to drift away because it's kind of like, all right, been there, done that. So that is another thing on my mind. And with that, I will think Linda was going to facilitate any Q&A. So I'll turn it over to you.
Well, Linda has a lot of background noise, so I'm going to attempt to do this.
Okay.
And I think, I don't know how I can only see 9 people, so I assume that if someone does the thumbs up-y thing or raises their hand on Zoom.
I'll call on people in the Zendo.
Okay.
Questions? Or comments? Anything people want to add? Erica?
Are there any plans to bring back the children's program?
Oh, the children's program. Yes, if you look into our strategic plan, it mentions the children's program a couple of times. And that was just a wonderful, wonderful thing. We had it every other Sunday. So, I don't know. It wasn't every Sunday.
Once a month.
But then Marcia also did mindfulness for preschoolers once a week, I think. But the gist of it is that this member of ours, Marcia, she just got a passion for it. She decided to do it. She just did it. And so she made it happen. I mean, she ended up recruiting volunteers, so it wasn't that she had to staff it all the time, but essentially, until that, like, I can't be in both, as much as I love being with the kids, I can't be in both places at once. So essentially, it's a matter of needing folks to step forward with a real sense of determination and commitment to just make it happen. So, but we should probably keep on like mentioning it because, you know, otherwise that person's not going to appear. Because that is definitely like long-term, it feels very incomplete to me to have a Sangha that doesn't have that. Jinryu.
I'll pass.
Chris?
I'll just take this opportunity to offer some words of thanks for the Sangha. I've been going through a journey pre-pandemic in which I was making kind of a personal commitment to reconnect with Sangha. And it was already challenging to do that locally. And then the pandemic hit, which offered a whole new set of challenges. And, you know, surprisingly, it also offered opportunities that weren't there before. And I've been involved with some other sanghas as well. And I just want to appreciate the hard work everybody's put in, especially in pivoting and making the teachings and the community available via Zoom, which has been just an amazing addition in my life personally. So thank you so much.
Tyler?
Yeah, I heard a couple of times speaking to the importance of having a living wage for Domio or whoever it is. And I was curious if, I know that number will change over time, but do we have where you guys are, what do we have a number of what that kind of is, or like an approximate goal of what is considered a living wage, as could be, you know, one day maybe more than a living wage would be lovely for a teacher. But yeah, I'm just curious if we have that in sort of the works.
Yeah, so and really it should, you know, it's difficult to use the right words, because living wage probably isn't as appropriate as a competitive salary, you know, which should include benefits and stuff someday.
Yeah,
but so it currently, I mean, I get 24,000, not quite. Yeah, almost 24,000 a year.
Okay.
Just like it's been increasing each year. And so far that has been a housing allowance. So a clergy person can get a certain amount as a housing allowance, and they don't pay income taxes on that. They pay Social Security on that, but not. So that's a benefit. But looking around at, like, you know, those websites that tell you in the local, a clergy person in the area would probably make between 55 and 75 thousand, including the benefits package, as a, you know, kind of median.
Okay. Thank you.
So we're getting there, but we're still.
It just feels like a really important thing, which I realize is still a big goal. But it, you know, for all you do, living is a nice benefit. That's well, sort of part, like.
And that is the tricky part of Zen centers all over the West, is that they tend to be founded by people who can afford to found them. Like, they have savings, they have spouses like I do who can support them, they are trust fund people or whatever. So then you found the Zen Center based on that, and they say, oh, no, don't give me money, you know, spend it on something more important. But then their Zen Centers don't survive, because they don't, you know, they haven't built up that capacity to actually support somebody. So, I mean, we're a long way from meeting that, but compared to many Zen centers of our size, we are on the right track.
But I think it's a really wonderful long-term value, I suppose, to that should be not just for you, but in the long term. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, I wanted to add to that. I don't know if that can be heard. But this is the kind of thing that the board works on. And it's one thing to say we're targeting this much because we got that figure off of clergysalary.com. And I'm not kidding about that. But it's another thing entirely to look across at the teachers in our region and how do they get paid. And what do they get paid? And what other benefits do they have? And housing. And, you know, one of the things that's on my mind, if I were to continue to be on the board, so maybe you can put this on your next agenda, is health insurance. And how do we properly take care of that? So this is about salary for Domio. It's about overall care and support for Domio. And it's also about what else do we need to pay for in the Zendo? What other people? And then is this something that we can carry into the future? So it, there's a lot to that. And so when I said it's not boring to be on the board, that's the kind of thing we talk about. And it can get very interesting.
So if anybody, you know, if you're interested in anything, you have follow-up questions, you're interested in volunteering, anything like that, and you can't remember who you were supposed to talk to or what email, you can always just email me at info@brightwayzen.org. So that's the email that's on the website, and I'll get you to the right person. That's it, right, Jim? All right. I will end with our usual verse. We dedicate the merit of this Sangha meeting to all so that they may be able to obtain the truth. All Buddhas throughout space and time, all honored ones, Bodhisattvas, Mahasattvas, wisdom beyond wisdom, Maha Prajna Paramita. Thank you all for coming to a business meeting.
Thank you for doing that.
So Anna, I do hope you come back next week, because these the talks that Jumyo is doing on the ninth yoga are really good. And if you come to the last one, the ninth one,